Welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Did you know that over 95% of all businesses fail within the first 10 years? By listening in to what Bob's guests have to say, plus direction from Bob Pritchard himself, it's our intention that you won't be among those statistics. Now, here's your host, Bob Pritchard.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show on Voice America Business Channel. We're broadcasting across the world from Hollywood Boulevard in California. Now, my guest today, Bradley Moore, he's been around a long time, has been successful for a long time and faced lots of challenges. And he's the CEO of Fundamental Applications Corporation. And they design, develop, market and acquire innovative mobile applications for college students. And that is a huge business. And prior to joining Fundamental Applications, he was the Chief Revenue Officer at Agreement Express Inc. You know, he's one of those people that ring you up and pester you for the money that you owe or something like that. And throughout his career, Bradley's established a proven track record of restructuring and developing early stage businesses, and that is difficult. Brad, welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Now, what is Fundamental Applications Corporation?
So Fundamental Applications Corp is what we call an app incubator. Right. What we do is we go out and we find great, cool products, great apps that we think will help us provide value and a lot of fun and interest and engagement for university students. And that's primarily that 17 to 20 to 24-year-old range.
Right.
We grab those products. Sometimes they're finished. Sometimes they have users. We patch them in a way that makes sense to us for our target base, and we take them to market, and we get people to come in, and kids come in and start engaging and then join them. And then ultimately down the road is we have mechanisms for creating monetization from those apps.
Okay. So a kid or anybody develops an app, takes it to you, and you think, wow, that fits our target market. That's something they'd be interested in. So do you acquire those at that point, or do you do joint ventures with whoever the developer is, or how do you do that?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. So, you know, every scenario is a little bit different.
Sure.
You know, if I had 20 apps, I could probably have 20 different stores. But what I can tell you is the three primary ones we have, and as you probably saw in the news release, we just signed a letter of intent to acquire OpenIt.
Yep.
What we generally do is we will come in and we'll look at the stage of development the app's in, and we've got a great development team. They have a very structured mechanism for working and turning these products around and out the door in a great way. And so a lot of times, you know, these guys, they're, put it this way, well, they're selling the app because they want to be involved, but they don't want to necessarily do it anymore, right? So there is generally a level of engagement. Sometimes they stick with us for a certain amount of times, but, you know, at the end of it, we have our business direction. And so if there's fit, they're staying. If not, they, you know, I like to think they take their money and they go do something else cool.
Yeah. Because it's hard, isn't it? I mean, if you're an independent, for example, and you develop an app, your chances of getting that out there and getting exposure and getting it picked up and driving that as a business, the odds must be astronomical against you succeeding.
Yeah, you know, Bob, that's a really excellent point. I think it's, you know, I've been fortunate enough to listen to your radio shows, and it was interesting. I was listening to the last one, and that failure rate is so incredibly high. And, you know, on the Apple Store alone, there's 1.9 million apps that are out there. And it's, you know, as you said, I've been around a long time. In 95, I started in the internet industry, and I used to tell people, I said, listen, having a website, even back then, it's like taking a bar of gold and throwing it in the Pacific Ocean. It might be a bar of gold, but it's in the Pacific Ocean. So who knows about it? What are you doing? How are you commercializing it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's really about business is business, and business is truly about creating awareness and a need and a want and keeping people engaged. And whether it's an app, a car, or, you know, a bar. So there's certain basic fundamentals that have to be executed on. And if you've never done that before, it's tough.
Yep.
I,
It's tough if you have done it before.
I can't tell you what's for OR. At least, you know, as I like to say that you know, that the coolest part of my bodies are all the wet marks on my back, because that's where the scar tissue is, right?
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, with the whole thing, what I generally try to find is things that apps and solutions, people and products that provide us that fit our model, which we know that works. And so, for example, 4O Technologies, when my team came in February, we took it over, had 8,000 users. By mid-May, we were actually the number two lifestyle app in India.
Wow.
Amongst university students, right? And so, you know, there's still 1.9 million apps on that Apple Store. So 4O was, like I said, it was the number two lifestyle app in India. And, you know, we've grown that app from 8,500 users over, actually, I believe we got it done in 4 months, to 50,000 users. And that was from good business practice, you know. And I like to think what I learned in my MBA isn't any different than what a lot of people learned in their MBA 50 years ago. Business is business, has to be executed a certain way. And, you know, we take a very ROI driven approach to everything.
Yep.
And, you know, I'd like to think, because of that very logical step-by-step approach, I like to call it we're the money ball of the app industry. And, you know, we worry about getting people on base and moving the users and the progression of the company. And that seemed to work for us so far.
While we're talking about apps,
yes, sir.
You keep reading, well, I keep reading, that things like Viv, et cetera, are going to replace apps. In fact, I think I read a couple of days ago that in a year or two's time, there won't be any such thing as an app. It'll all be cloud-driven. How does that affect your business? I guess it doesn't really. It's just a different means of delivery. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. And so the analogy that I give, and probably that I think yourself and a lot of our listeners can really relate to, is think about it this way. If Fundamental was a mall company, we'd be the property owners. And inside each property owner, there would be a whole bunch of retailers. And each one of those retailers are my apps. My job as Fundamental is I use the different retailers and the polls to get those users inside. What we really care about is the people. Yeah. How that happened is going to change. You know, it's kind of like if you try to constantly chase technology and win your business on technology, that's a tough way to go, right?
Sure is.
You know, yeah. Look at Apple, right? Apple's a brand. You don't ever, you know, iOS isn't a brand. Their operating system.
Yeah.
Conversely, Android, which is Google's operating system and a lot of other places, it's actually a brand.
It is a brand.
So, yeah, exactly. And so we have a very cool image on our 4O.com website. It's actually of a whole row of university seats, and it's kind of, you know, from you're looking at it down the row. So there's 500, and I had our graphic artist guy. He embedded the logo 4O on the back of each seat. Because what I really care about, Miss Bob, is I care about those people that are sitting in there and what they can do. And so how I engage them when I do is going to change. The important component, I just need to be the name that they associate with great engagement.
Right. Got it. Now, one of your applications, which you just mentioned, 4O, it's a peer-to-peer e-commerce marketplace, and this is as I understand it, and it makes it easy for people, students, to buy and sell their items with other students. And so you post an item by smartphone, and the people logging in can browse and buy items from anywhere at any time. Is that sort of sum it up?
Yeah, it's pretty much spot on.
How does it work?
Interestingly enough, it's very simple. You're going to UCLA, you're going to USC, you're going to, you know, University of Nevada or Mississippi or University of Miami, wherever. You simply download the 4O app, you log in with a Facebook Connect, you download the 4O app, and first thing it does is it finds any university within 10 miles of you. You find your university, and then you log in with Facebook Connect. Now you're in that university marketplace, okay? So what's happening is it's going to, what we're going to do is we're going to connect you with other students on campus. Now, the real question is like, why would you do that? Why would you not go to Craigslist? Well, a couple of reasons, right? So first of all, you know, well, I hope I wouldn't have to explain to people why people get worried about using Craigslist. There's a safety issue, correct?
Yes.
The other thing is you think about, do you know whether the person who's three dorm room down, doors down from you, is going to need something you have or not? You don't. You don't even know if they're necessarily taking the class that you took next semester, because you may not know them. But they might only be 15 feet away. Yes. So what Foro does is it gives students the ability to actually turn around and post products that they just either don't need or find products that they want from other students on campus. So as we all know, that there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of pressure in the marketplace on things like the text-based buy-sell solutions are out there. There's Virag, Let's Go. What's really unique about Foro and why I love Foro is because it gets kind of back to that, you know, early Facebook days where it's about the university. It's about those, every campus is a micro-economy. Sure. And that's a really cool thing, right? And when you think about that and what we're doing with OpenIt, it's a really great way to kind of launch from there. And with 6,000 campuses alone between Canada and the United States, there's just no shortage of opportunity.
And I guess students would rather deal with other students if they can, rather than somebody out there in the big bad world that they have no idea who they are or and can't really relate to them.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, I mean, it's interesting. It's very cyclical depending what time of year it is. So all year long, you see a lot of electronics getting posted. There's actually on Foro right now globally. There's 10,000 products, about $1 million worth of product for sale on there.
Yeah.
And when you take a look at it, at the end of the year, textbooks. Right?
Right.
Because who, you know, you take it back to the bookstore, they give you $20, you paid $180.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And we all know that textbook is pretty much going to be the same one somebody else is going to use next semester. And yep. So why should they pay $180 when somebody will sell it to them for $60? So that's kind of a really cool aspect of it too. And then the other thing is if you're in your fourth year and you're graduating, why pay for storage or have to go, you know, storing furniture you don't need from your dorm room or trying to go talk to somebody 30 miles away to go sell it when there's another student who's coming in who could just, you can literally walk across the campus, meet at the student building, exchange goods and cash for it.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I have been there, done that. It is a pain in the butt. So that's it sounds like a good idea.
Exactly.
If you can do it with somebody who's just coming into town, moving into your neighborhood, maybe even into the same building, it makes it a hell of a lot easier. Now,
and I was going to say one thing, why I think Foro is so different from some of the other contemporaries that are very kind of big, and literally, Bob, just so you know, takes 15 seconds to post something for sale on Foro, create an account, open it, and post something for sale. And what's really interesting about that is it's ease of use. You got to remember, you're going to see these people. You're going to see them every day, and you're going to build friendships. So it's very community-based, and that's one of the things we just love about it.
Right. I can see that quite clearly. Now, Foro, which for our listeners is FORO. The hell did you come up with Foro? You know, 3 o'clock one morning, you go, bingo, I just thought of a great name, Foro. That'll have people flooding in the door. How'd you come up with
that? Well, it's a great story. It's a great story. And so when we actually acquired, when Fundamental Applications acquired this app in April 2015, it was built by a Stanford student, and he was an IT guy who's a programmer. Is actually a young Canadian kid who was at Stanford, you know, where all great things seem to come from, right?
Right.
And he just wanted to sell his skis, and he wanted a better way to do it.
Right.
So he created this app, and Foro in Spanish means forum,
okay.
Right? So that's why we love it.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So how does it work? You just take a photo of whatever the item is, and you post it. And that's it.
Yeah, it's really Yeah, it's really that easy. You post it, so you put a short description, you put your price in on it, what you want for it, and then next thing you know, people can. So let's say, for example, you post your old rugby cleats on there, and I'm looking for a pair of worn out old rugby cleats, and so what happens is I go on and I type in rugby cleats, or they just might be the first item that I see. You're offering asking like $40, and you know, so there's a little bit of an eBay thing in there. I can offer you $20, and you can either accept or decline it, and then there's. What the cool part is, there's actually a mapping system, so I can actually see that you're on campus, so you just walk and not some dude. Yeah,
you walk across the quadrangle, and there you are,
right there. That's simple. Yeah,
that's
nice. Big pictures, very simple, very easy. And I think that's probably the reason why, you know, in 5 months we've got 10,000 products posted on there so quickly.
That's fantastic. So does it? How do you make your money?
Great question. You know, first and foremost, how you make your money in anything is providing value. The way we provide value in NAP is actually what we're doing with 4.0 is by having a great user experience, right?
Right.
The idea being the longer somebody spends inside of the app and they're more engaged, there's more value that's being perceived as such, it's okay to start to, you know, use targeted ads. So ads are, you know, I remember when, you know, the internet, you know, really kind of got kicked off and social media got going and ads were very taboo and it was a bad thing. The fact is, you know, I look at my 12-year-old daughter and I ask her, I said, well, how do you feel about when an app pops up? She goes, well, if the app's free, it's just part of it, right? It's kind of like us watching TV. You got to get through the TV ad. So as long as they're targeted and they're properly approached, that's one great way. And we did targeted ads already in specific geographic locations, and they're working out quite well for us. The other way that we're looking at it is, you know, how do we monetize those transactions? And we have to be careful about that because we don't want to assume any unnecessary risk, you know. Yep. So I sell you a textbook, but I ripped out 50 pages and then you want your money back. Well, who owns that responsibility? And the other thing is fees. We don't want to pass on fees to students. So we've got a couple of neat things where it's more like a chat page that we're in development of right now. And then I think the most interesting thing is what you'll see is, you know, as when we look at our partnership with OpenIt, the ability to match like a student rewards, right? A student discount.
Right.
So for example, you know, if you're selling, somebody's selling a whole bunch of tennis stuff, you know, it would make a heck of a lot of sense for a retailer to offer student discounts, you know, around tennis balls or running shoes. Yeah.
And I guess the great thing about just targeting college students is that it's so tightly targeted. I mean, you're not out there flogging all sorts of shit. You really can hone in on specific demographics. I mean, it's a perfect target market.
100%. And you know, the key to this demographic, and from what I've seen, and you know, I have a great team of people that work for me and a whole bunch of them between 20 and 30. And I sit there watching how they do it. You know, if they're not working, they're on social media.
Yeah.
First thing they do is they come off and they pick up their smartphones. And what they do, it's their way of discussion. It's their way of communication. And so content is king. And, you know, I've always proposed that, that what's more content oriented than posting something that's yours.
Yes.
Right. And so that's a real truism. And you know, as I've alluded to with OpenIt, it's all about content creation. So we're really kind of excited about these two great products coming together.
So yeah. So you just acquired OpenIt, which is OpenIt. What is it?
So, well, we just signed a letter of, depending when this airs, we signed a letter of intent.
Yes. Yep.
But we're working through all those details right now. And, and so OpenIt is, I like to think about it this way. Well, there's some great ads that you can go out there. You can do capture images and then, you know, you post it and it shows up and they're worth billions of dollars, right?
Yep.
And so how OpenIt works is not only does it allow you to capture images, but you can, you know, go out and do a text grab of your quote of the day or an article that you love, or even a video. So, for example, I was just in Toronto at the Rogers Cup watching tennis, and so, for example, at the end of it, I looked at the leaderboard and I took a snapshot, and then, you know, what Alpinit allows you to do is actually attach emoticons to this stuff.
Okay.
So I put like these thumbs up, happy faces, and then, you know, my guy, you know, the Canadian, Milos got bumped out. So I put unhappy face and I grabbed some stuff off the web and I posted it on Alpinit. So Alpinit is the best of a lot of different products coming together. But what's really cool and different, it allows you to grab any content anywhere online and actually put your emotions around how you feel around it through emoticons. And why that is so powerful, think about it from a retailer's aspect, right?
Yep.
So if there's 10,000 open posts and you know what, you know, that 35% of people, you know, love, you know, Wimbledon tennis, wow. Well, it might make a lot of sense to be an advertiser around those posts, right?
Sure.
And so what we're actually doing in the direction and vision that the Open and the 4O team see together is we actually see the ability, if you're once again a UCLA student and you play varsity tennis, to actually post something from Wimbledon using your Open app.
Yep.
And then it'll show up like on a portal, like on a mobile site.
Okay.
And then anybody who has anything from 4O, from their 4O app, that has anything related to do with tennis from UCLA will show up right beside it. So think about that. That's incredible. It's content creating commerce.
Yep.
In a closed loop environment. And that's why we say then a student discount program just makes so much sense.
Great way to catch attention. If I was listening to you, I would say, this guy's probably, you know, I don't know, 35, 40-year-old, sophisticated businessman. We're actually, at heart, you're just a freshman, right?
Yeah, well, I'm actually... you know, as my kids say, Dad, you're 50 turning 12, right?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty passionate about it, and I'm very kind of grateful for the experiences that I've had, like in my life, to kind of allow me to get to this point to do all these great things and to have this level of passion and bring this skill set, and as you say in your on your radio shows, to have that experience to know when to let other people step in front, and also when to be able to take the right advice and then you know, work hard every day. Every day. There's no exceptions to, you know, it's the 10,000 hour rule, right?
Yeah, there's three ways to be successful. Work hard. Number two is work hard. And number three is work hard. That's it.
Exactly.
If you've got a clear vision and a focus and you work hard, you will get, providing your product's not a dog, but if the product's half good, you will succeed. It's not easy, but... you will succeed. So I can just imagine when we get off this call, you're going to go out and see if you can catch some Pokemon in the backyard.
Yeah. I'm going to, once we get off this call, I'm going to figure out how to get more 4O and Opina users.
So,
one of the things is, and it's interesting, I was talking with a partner of ours in the States, and they said, and they actually asked me that question. They said, what's your drive around certain things? And, you know, I was very fortunate enough to serve my country, and I spent a certain amount of years in the Army, and I was a paratrooper and all that good kind of stuff. And I learned that you don't get from any place unless you're putting one foot in front of the other. And
sure. It's true.
And I translated that into business experience. My first job out of the Army, I was at university, I had to pay for school. So I sold encyclopedias door to door back in the day. And what a great way to actually learn how to work, right?
Yeah.
And that's just never left me. So I enjoy every day I get an opportunity to come to work.
That's really good training, because one of the reasons a lot of businesses fail is that they don't knock on enough doors. They get tired of being rejected. You know, they get rejected five or six times and they say, screw this. You know, I don't want to do this. I'll pivot or I'll change or I'll do something else. And you know, it's a numbers game. And one of the great things about doing door-to-door is you learn how to cope with rejection. You learn how to refocus your message. It's really great experience.
You're 100% right. And anybody on my team, I always counsel them. And then they go, if they hit a hard spot or they get frustrated, and I just say, you know what, you just don't realize how close you are.
Yeah.
You just, you know, all those wrong doors, you just don't have to walk through again. What a great relief, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then the nice thing is when you get a little bit older and wiser, you just don't have to walk through as many wrong doors anymore, right?
Yeah, that's true. So let's go back to Furo. Obviously, it's going very well, and the take-up in India is quite extraordinary. What's the reception in the U.S. to Furo? Is it really strong? How fast is it growing?
It's growing. We're actually getting last time I checked, we slowed down and we had the acquisition, so our advertising, you don't try to, like, do too much advertising in the summertime, because the fact is you're burning money, right?
Yeah, there's nothing there.
But when we were running full strength, my CFO might argue with me on this, but we had an incredible growth rate. I believe we were growing at a rate of over like 16-70% week after week in usage in the United States. Yeah, and we quickly went. What I can tell you is, And just so you know, users are kind of like leaving the window open, and, you know, some flies come in and then leave and go. And it seems like always the same amount, but, you know, people come and go, right? That's the nature of the beast with the app. But one of the things that we did do is we were on 5 campuses, then we went to 25 campuses, and now we're actually being used over 500 campuses across Canada and the United States.
It's perfect for word of mouth, because these people see each other every day. And, you know, I just sold all my books from at the end of last semester. How did you do that? I did it through Furo. Jeez, show me how to do it. What do I got to do? I can understand that. The word of mouth would be fantastic.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, one of the things you always have to be cognizant of in this business, it does cost money to get your name out there, right? You do have to hit. You're going to have, whether you engage, let's say, like a celebrity to promote, that costs, or you do something like, which has been very effective to us, and I'd recommend to anybody, is Facebook app ads downloads. Once you actually learn that art, you're always going to pay a certain amount per download. Where you start getting really good is if you pay for one, how many free do you get? Do you get none? Do you get one? Do you get two? Do you get three? Do you get four? And then you'll get your true user acquisition cost. And then you'll see how scalable your business actually can be.
Right. Right. What other acquisitions have you got on the horizon? I guess you get to see thousands of apps. How do you determine which ones? Because a lot of the things that I get, for example, are not quite there. They need some tweaking. They need, you know, they've thought it through, but they haven't quite thought it through enough. So somebody sends you an app that they've created. What's your process before you decide, you know, we can use this and we can meld this into our system? What's your process?
Well, first and foremost, you know, we know what we're looking for. So we're very active and going out and trying to find, you know, what we want, right? And as you can imagine, with 1.9 million apps on the App Store, how many aren't even on the App Store?
Sure.
So there's no shortage to look for. One of the key things, too, is you nailed it earlier. It's about the people, because they, you know, more than likely they will work with us on these projects to help with the integration and get going. And we want to make sure that the code base is stable. That's always a big thing. That the product is supportable, that has expansion, that, you know, that, we have the ability to kind of grow it into the scale, you know, for example, you know, there's one thing on Brad Moore's mind, and at the end of February, we're going to have 750,000 users for Furo, between the Furo Open and solution. And, you know, what we do to facilitate that road and how we get there is if it's adding value to get 750,000 users, there's a good chance it'll be included. If it's not, we're not. And the reason why that number is so important to us is because, as you know, as we're a publicly traded company, we see based on the market comparables, in my opinion, we see this our users being worth $200 a user.
Right.
You know, if you have 750 million or 750,000 of them, you're a real player.
You know, are.
Very few apps get beyond out of the valley of death, which is like up to 30,000 users, and we're well beyond that right now. So if the product is not helping facilitate that 750,000 user mark, like it won't create engagement that will get more kids using it and bringing and adding value,
you don't want it.
For us right now, we're not interested in it, no.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time, but what's the biggest what's the biggest challenge that you've faced getting to where you are now?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a great question. I tend to be a bit of an optimist, so it's, you know, everything is lemon in the lemonade for me, right?
And me too.
So probably, yeah. You know, people ask me that, and they go, "Well, the summer's slow," and you know, all I can say is this summer we went out and we acquired OpenIt. So it wasn't that bad for me.
Yeah.
I think it's like anything. It's you know, people are busy. There's a lot of things that are in front of them, right? And so our job is, you know, how do we get to be top of mind? What does it take to be top of mind for that 17 to 22-year-old at university? So they go, this is great. This is actually a really cool solution. And because we know if we can do that once, we can do it twice, we can do it 5 million times.
Sure. Brad Moore, thank you very much for speaking with me on the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. I really do appreciate it. Now, you can Fundamental Applications Corporation is the biggest bloody name I've ever seen. So when you go to look it up, it's easy. You go to FunAppCorp. So that's FunAppCorp.com. So don't go out there and try to find that Fundamental Applications Corporation. Too bloody hard. You make too many mistakes typing it in. But FunAppCorp.com is easy. Brad, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And I'll be back with
more
of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show on Voice America Business Network right after this short break.